Rock won't move. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to begin reading verse 24. Matthew 7, 24. I appreciate Jared being led by the Holy Ghost because of songs that he had him to sing really speak to what God put on my heart to speak to you today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," now he was said this at the very end of what's referred to as his Sermon on the Mount, "whoever hears these sayings and does them, I'll liken him," or I'll compare him to "a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rains descended, floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So he's speaking to here of your life and your personal life being like a house being built. And that, of course, we all in our personal life can be compared to a house being built. Your life's being built upon something. And he says here, if you're a doer of the word or a doer of the things I'm teaching you, you're like a wise man who built his house on rock. And if you don't do what I'm saying, if you don't do the word of God, you're foolish. Your house is built upon sand. Now, in using this as an example to our life and a comparison, we're either going to be wise or foolish. It's one or the other. Your life is going to be built and established on something. It's for you to know what it is. You need to know what you're building your life upon. Whether it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, his word, or whether it's money or just building on family. You know, that's a good thing to have good family, but if you just build on family, what's going to happen when something comes against your family? Or would disrupt the family. Well, now the very thing you're building on is falling apart. So we go on, you know, looking, we can build upon something of this world, or we can build upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Now, I used to do masonry work as a younger man, and you lay foundations. And in Pennsylvania, we can get very cold winters and frost. So you have to go down 3 feet because potentially it could freeze down that far. The ground could freeze. Rarely does it go down real far, but it could if it's real cold for prolonged periods of time. So when the ground freezes, when it thaws out, it's going to lift, it's going to move, and the foundation will be cracked. The ground will raise or sink, and then you're going to have cracks in your house. So I relate to this to a large degree where our foundation needs to be solid. It needs to be upon a solid rock, or in this case, in building around here, you're creating the rock. You pour the footers, you pour, you know, concrete into the ground, having dug down far enough to get below frost, the frost line, so that you're creating the rock. If you're in a place where there's just rock, well, you could just build on the rock. But Pennsylvania is not like that so much. But then the problem you run into is, what if that big rock moves if you're just on a rock? So you have to get below that which could cause the disruption of the foundation. You have to be below every disruption. There are many things that can cause disruptions in our life. It could be circumstances like a storm. It could be devils tormenting you. It could be people and their sins causing a disruption. You know, we deal with that a lot in life, where someone else's sin makes a disruption. Well, we want to have the firm foundation that nothing will move us or disrupt us. Now, earthquakes, the very ground itself shakes. We're not in an earthquake area of the world, but a few years ago, we did have a small earthquake, and you know, the pictures in your house might have moved or some things like that, and it actually could have been strong enough to cause some foundational damage. But out in a place like California, that always hangs over their head because of the fault lines there, that there could be major shifts in the earth. Now, one time when we were in India, there was a major earthquake, and it was actually at the border of Pakistan. It was 1,500 miles away. But it was felt down in Chennai, and you know, the way I tell this story, it was a morning where we've all been getting up, getting ready for the meetings for the day. And I saw the television begin to shake. And the first thought to my mind is, there's a rat in the television. That was my first thought, to be honest. So I put my hand on it to steady it. So why is this television moving? There's a rat in there. And it started shaking again. I walked over to the window, and then I'm seeing this. It's like this at the window up about five stories. And I go, whoa, this is an earthquake. I mean, it took me a little while to realize this. Like Jared was along. Like he said, you were in a shower at the time. And so we stayed in there. But later on, the people that were staying there, the Indians, they knew it was an earthquake and ran out of the building. We didn't know any better. We didn't really know what was going on. That the very ground is shaking. So we didn't run out the building. So then, you know, they had heard, oh, these people are preachers of the gospel. So they thought we were so holy that we didn't think we had to leave the building. Where actually we didn't have enough common sense to know what was happening. And sometimes people have things coming against them, and they don't really even understand the degree of what they're dealing with, the degree of what's coming at them, and that's dangerous. I mean, it was a newer motel, so it was built stronger, so we were good. But in that part of the world, there were a lot of older buildings falling down from this earthquake. So we didn't realize the danger of what was disruptive to the very earth itself. And many times in people's lives, spiritually, they get, they expose themselves to things or involved or just a circumstance, and they may not even realize how dangerous this is to them. Now, if you get really hurt by it, then you realize. But there's things that the devil would try to bring at us or just circumstance in life or even people where we may not even realize. And praise God, we have the Holy Ghost who will reveal things to us. And we have the promises of the covenant for our protection and our deliverance. So we don't have to be afraid of the unknown. Many people live in the fear of life being disrupted. If someone's trust is in money, they're always afraid of the big, depression or the recession or the big drop. And it's kind of interesting. Sometimes I'll watch like Business Channel and you just hear it. You know, some little thing happens and, the prices start going down because fear comes into people. Well, this could disrupt my little empire or what I'm trying to build here. If we do not build on the rock, Jesus Christ, fear will always be a part of our life. You'll be afraid of what could happen. You'll be afraid of the future. Well, what if this happens? It's wise not to go there, not to live that way, because it never ends. The whole what if thing will never end. There'll just be something else that, excuse me. It'll just be something else coming at you. Another, whether it's an attack or a circumstance. So God doesn't want us living in fear. If we build on a strong foundation, then we can withstand the storms of life. Now, it was about a week or so ago, there was a great hurricane hit Florida, hit the panhandle. And that's an area that's not normally hit so much, like sail on the Atlantic side. But however, it formed and traveled up, and it did a great, great deal of damage. A huge amount of damage was done. The winds supposedly were 150 miles an hour. That's kind of hard to fathom. I remember when 80 mile an hour winds went through here, and it did a lot of destruction. So it's 150 miles an hour winds and rain and storm surges on the coast and all this stuff. And people that lived down in this particular part of Florida, specifically, there's a place called Mexico Beach. It was just devastation. It's complete devastation. And people that live in a place like that, they do so knowing that could happen. I just want to make a statement. That's not a demon. That's just circumstance. I mean, you know, the way the winds blow and all that kind of stuff. If that was Satan who could do that, he'd wipe us all out today. He does not have that kind of power. Sometimes people, they over-spiritualize everything. Well, it's just a storm. And if you live there, you could have a big storm. If you live in Canada or even Pennsylvania, you could have 2 feet of snow come. What was it, about 4 or 5 years ago, we had 2 feet of snow October 30th to 31st. In October. That can happen. If you're not prepared for that, that could create a big problem. If you're like a homeless person living on the street, you got a big problem. You get 2 feet of snow. We build our homes where we can stand cold weather and snow and so forth. So storms are circumstantial, and there's physical storms and there are literal storms. You have that picture, Jared? You bring that up. I have a picture that I want you to see. Oh, there it is. And maybe some of you already saw this, but this is a house right on the beach at Mexico Beach, Florida. And you can see behind it, everything is destroyed. And this house doesn't even look like anything happened to it. And this person that owned that house was interviewed, and they just built it, finished building at the beginning of this year. And the guy told the builder, I want a hurricane house. I want a house that can withstand the worst hurricane. So they built this house, and they actually, you know, I mean, it's by the sand. Okay, so we're talking build a house on the sand. That's what these ones over here, a house on the sand. And he has 40 feet down into the ground. And he poured concrete pilings, concrete pillars, 40 feet down into the ground. And there's like 1 foot thick concrete walls with steel rebar in. You know, the whole thing. And then he had like these cables where the whole roof is like cabled down into the concrete. So the roof didn't blow off. A few windows broke, they say. Now, this person built this house to be able to withstand that kind of storm. And when he was going with the architect and the designer to build it, he'd say, well, let's put more windows over here on the sides and in the back. And the builder said, no, you said you want a hurricane house. And it was, well, let's have a balcony hanging out here. And the builder say, no, you said you want a hurricane-proof house. You know, you have a balcony out there. It's just a sail in the wind. And so there were different things. The builder said, no, you want to build to withstand the worst hurricane, so you can't have some things you would want. Sometimes in our life, you'd like your life to be a certain way with certain niceties of life, and they're not morally wrong in themselves. But we do need to consider is doing something taking away from a firm foundation. Then it becomes a matter of wisdom. Well, I could do this. However, I don't have the foundation I need to withstand a storm. Now, that's actually much easier to implement to build a physical building. It takes a lot more wisdom to implement these principles into our own personal life, into the relationships we would have, into our family, and so forth. Because the more you're getting over into that realm, dealing with people and building a family, building friendships, building, it requires more wisdom. And there will be storms in life. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. There will be storms. And we have to consider in being wise, am I building my life personally and then family-wise and beyond that? Am I building my life in a way I can withstand whatever's going to come at me? And you don't know along the way when your storm's going to come. But we don't have to be afraid of that. When we build our life on Christ completely, and you know the power of God is in the fact that you're walking in the light of His Word. When you know that, you don't have to be afraid of your future. That can be a tormenting fear a lot of people have. Well, I wonder if I lose my job. I wonder if the stock market will crash. Oh, I wonder if a killer disease is going to go around. Oh, you know, I wonder if someone's going to break in my house and kill me. There's no end to this stuff. There comes a place we have to be able to put it all that aside and live in peace. God wants you to live in peace. So it's going to be building on the rock. Okay. Well, Jesus is saying here, if you do my word, you're building your house on a rock, or it will not be moved. It will be strong. It will be tied into the very ground. The rains can come. The floods can come. The wind can blow, but it will stand. Of course, as children, you learn that childhood story with the wolf and the three pigs. Almost said three bears. That's another story. That's Goldilocks. The three pigs. You know, and the one builds the house with straw, and a wolf blows it down. Then you have one with sticks, and he blows it down. And then you have the one with bricks, and he can't blow it down. And they're all safe, and everybody's happy. So even there's a childhood story, probably came from these scriptures, I'd almost assume this, where the wolf equaling the devil here, Satan would want to blow your house down. Yeah, and if you have no home, physically you're vulnerable to the elements. In this case, to the wolf eating you, little pig. You know, you're vulnerable to that. And we don't like feeling vulnerable. People want security. Many times there's a look for security in the flesh, and that's nice. You know, but you could have, say, with your home, a secure system, and if somebody wants to kill you, they can wait outside with a sniper rifle about 100 yards away. You can't see him. You walk out the door, and boom, you're dead. You know, so to look for security in the natural, there's always a limitation. There's always a way around those things. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to do things for security in the natural. I mean, it's kind of a good idea to lock your car. I mean, I remember over the years, we let our car unlocked, and then CDs disappear and things like that. Now, the only problem for the people doing that, they might end up getting conviction. They play our, you know, our CDs or worship or what have you. But it's a good idea, you know, to secure things in that sense. But we have to realize when it comes to our very life and our own heart, you can never do enough. And people, and pursuing it, even end up in fear. Somewhere along the line, faith has to come into play. Again, I want to say it's wise to do things. Like we have cameras and everything. It's wise to do things, but ultimately you're going to have to be in faith. Faith and wisdom should always be married. Well, when it comes to, you know, our life and the storms that would come, the word to us is if we're hearing the word of Jesus Christ and we're acting upon it and doing it, that's what will withstand any storm. Not other things that we would look to, but that. So I want to go to James chapter 1 for a moment. And I'll start with verse 8. It says here, a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. A man wants not only security, but stability, to be stable. the stability comes from things that are constant that you know aren't going to be easily changed, or things that can hold you up, stability, things that are going to be consistent and not just be destroyed. Children become very insecure if there's no stability in the home. But when they see stability, it helps them unto security. Well, if we think faith one time and fear the next, we're not stable. We need to learn to think God's word, think his thoughts, and a stability is going to begin to come. Well, as we go on down here, verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift from above comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he's stating here to us that good things come from God. It's very simple. Then it goes on to say, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You know, when you let something make you mad and you react, you create more problems to deal with. You still have the initial problem, but now you have more problems. You know, and it might require, forgive me for shooting my mouth off, or, you know, it might require you to humble yourself. It might require you to try to rebuild a relationship. Or it could be worse, where you do something and you end up in prison for it. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, or speaking of your manner of speech, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. The word of God, received, believed, acted upon, brings the impartation of salvation, the work of salvation, to our life. We receive it with meekness, which is to not exalt our opinions and thinkings to it. Sometimes people hear the word and they mix some pride in there and they don't really hear what God's trying to say to them. The engrafted word, which means to implant a living thing in a living site, whether it's mankind or animal, the impregnation, the male to the female, is a living thing in a living site. The word is alive, your spirit's alive. As that word comes to your spirit, it produces more fruit. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's very easy to deceive ourselves. Now, devils want to deceive us. Some people may want to deceive you at times. But to me, the worst thing is if I deceive myself. I don't want to deceive myself. And when we're just hearing the word, but we don't do anything, you begin to think you're somewhere you're not, just because of the knowledge. Now, that's easily seen in teenagers many times. You know, they're in high school and they're learning algebra and geometry and they're learning physics and this and that. And they start thinking, and not all the time, but many times, they'll start thinking now they're smarter than mom and dad. Maybe some of you thought that back when you were in high school, when you were 15 years old. You're learning some things. Now suddenly you're smarter than mom and dad. They don't know anything. But the reality is you just have a little bit of knowledge. But, and I say it this way, book smart, life stupid. I mean, I don't say that, hopefully that's not offensive to anybody, but that's the way I see it and say it. Some people are book smart and life stupid. You know, so ignorance and stupid is not the same thing. When you're ignorant, you just don't know. When I use the word stupid, what I mean by that is that you've heard the truth, and you're still exalting your own opinion in your own way. That's stupid. You know, I'm going to still do it my way, even though I know I've heard the truth. I know the truth here. See, you're no longer ignorant when you hear the truth. We make all kinds of mistakes because we don't know. Wow, I didn't know you don't plug that in here. You know, I didn't know. Now I know. If once you have one of those experiences, now you go do it again. That's being dumb. You know, you're not ignorant anymore. You know, to do certain things, that's going to cause this problem. Well, he says, be doers of the word, not hearers, so you're not deceiving yourself. For if you're a hearer of the word, not a doer, you're like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. He beholds himself, goes his way, and forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, or the word of God, it brings salvation, it produces freedom, and continues, he won't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Now, there's times, again, you deal with children, and you ask them to do something, and they walk away, and they start to play again, and they didn't do it, and they say, well, I forgot. You ask them, well, why didn't you do what I told you? Oh, I forgot. And they may be actually very sincere in that, because it's not been, you know, received in a way where they're purposing to do it, so they don't make a point of remembering. If you're not purposed to do something, you won't make a point of remembering. The things that are important to you, you will remember. Have you ever seen a kid forget Christmas? I mean, most teachers will say, you know, come about Thanksgiving, you can't hardly teach them anything, because they're anticipating something that in their mind will be good for them. So, you know, they don't forget that, but they'll forget, did you do your homework? Oh, no, I forgot. That's not important. So the more we see the value of the Word of God, we become more purposed to do it. We remember more. And ultimately, it comes to making that decision, I am going to live by the Word. And that's what's going to create a firm foundation where we can withstand every storm. For people that just, you know, show up, worship a little bit, hear a little preaching, and go their way and don't look to implement it, when a storm comes, they won't have what they need to pass through it. Whether it's the power of God or the wisdom of God or the love of God, they won't have what they need. And it's so sad when everything's available and someone doesn't lay hold of it, then the storm comes. Now you're in a difficult position. And the expression is very difficult to build a house in a storm. Now, I won't say it's impossible, but we make it a lot harder on ourselves. We're going to have to work at it a whole lot more. I want to go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 speaks to this. It's a psalm of David. Truly my soul waits upon God. From him comes my salvation. He's my source. The principle is you're a servant of your source. If God's your source, you'll be looking to him. If money's your source, you're always looking, how do I get more money? If people are your source, your eyes are on people. Well, when's somebody going to do something for me? When's this person going to deliver me out of this problem? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And that last song we were singing was speaking to that. He's my rock and I won't be moved. Is that how it went? You were singing it. You should remember that. He's my rock. How is it, Jared? The rock won't move. His word is strong. A rock won't move. And you know, to remember songs, sometimes you have to put the melody in because that's how it gets programmed in your brain. The rock won't move and the word is strong. The rock won't move and... Oh, he's ahead of me here. His love can't be undone. That's a good one. Rocks don't move. You know, solid rock doesn't move. And that's where we want ourselves to be positioned. That we are solid. We are strong as a rock. Our life, the work of our life, the relationships, everything's built on that rock. That is my foundation. And as we have that, no matter what we encounter, we will come out victorious. We will not be moved. And that's what the psalmist says. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall you be, as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast down his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth. They curse inwardly. This would have been written, just from the context of it, when David was king and his son Absalom led a rebellion. And people were rebelling, wanting to overthrow him, that they themselves could take his place of power and authority. And they were conspiring, and lying and such things to try to turn the people against him. He says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. There's times David talked to himself. Now, to the world, they'll say, oh, you know, you talk to yourself. Something's wrong with you, knowing you're a Christian. You talk to God. Oh, yeah, all, every day. And you hear voices? Oh, yes. And I don't want to paint you as crazy, but they'll talk to themselves. They'll be cursing and so forth, talking to themselves at that point. And the only thing they hear is devils talking back to them. But he says, my soul, just like Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's commanding himself. Soul, I command you to praise the Lord. There are times you don't feel like doing the right thing, but you have to command yourself to. It could be something that's emotionally distressing, physically, whatever, and there's times we have to command our soul that we need to do the word of God. We need to act on the word. Something pops into my mind. This was probably 35 years ago. And there was a young man and young woman. Don and I counseled, married them. And her background, she was wild. I mean, wild. Whatever you could imagine wild, she was that and more. And the Lord saved her. He gloriously saved her and changed her life. And this young man, he adored her. She was a very pretty young lady. And he adored her. He understood the background and all of that. And she was moving ahead in God. And it's one Sunday morning, right before worship, he comes over and says, so-and-so, his wife, left me last night. And I knew what that meant. She could have been like 500 miles away, you know, on drugs or prostituting or whatever. I knew what it meant. And he was so distressed and so distraught. I mean, he was so broken and crushed. And he had a heart for this young couple. They were, you know, she came out of this, had a testimony, and he was just really not saved real long and very much wanting to do the right thing. It was heartbreaking. And he tells me this right before the service is going to start, before I'm going to preach. I appreciate you don't do that to me. But it was a rare circumstance. It was a crisis. And my mind's like, zing! It's gone. Because I could only imagine what she was doing by now. She could have been dead for all we knew because of, you know, you can't go back. You come out of stuff like you can't go back. You can't fool around with it. And I asked the person who was leading worship, going to lead worship, I said, play dance music for Jesus. I mean, just as hard as you can. And he did. And I just danced with all my might to get my mind back to do what I needed to do, to be able to put this out. I commanded my soul, you're going to bless the Lord, because strong praise is the only thing that's going to take me out beyond what was just put into my mind. And the stress and distress in this young man. So there's times you have to make a decision and command your soul, I'm going to praise him. Yes. And when the storm comes, you don't feel like doing that. Your mind's, you know, fear or what have you. Your mind's upset. But that's the point. We begin to command our soul to do the right thing. So my soul, verse 5, my soul, you only look to God or wait upon the Lord. My expectations from him. He alone's my source. So he commands himself to fix his eyes back on the Lord, who is his rock. Verse 6, he only is my rock. Everything shaking around me. For him as king with this rebellion, everything that was established is being shaken by his son Absalom, his rebellion, and those who were turned against David. Everything's about to fall, including his own life being killed. He said, he only is my rock, my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. There comes a time in life, a place where we are are in a position, I have nothing to look to but Jesus Christ. I need the power of God. Nothing less is going to suffice here. And we come to that place where what's going to come out of our mouth? He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be moved. And in that moment, now this was written as a psalm. He was inspired. This is his prayer. And it's given to us as a song to sing. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I take my position. I take my stand. I will not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. His safe place. It used to really make me laugh. You know, I hear these crazy kids on college campuses, they want a safe space, that they don't hear a conservative say something. A safe place where I can just be in my, live in my world of lies about life. The safe place, the refuge is in him. The rock where we withstand every storm. Our life is built upon that revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, trust in him. Trust at all times. Pour out your heart before the Lord. God is a refuge for us. So we have the storm of life coming. And he's saying to pour out your heart to God. Trust him. Hold fast the confession of your faith. Verse 10 says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. One of the things God had an issue with the Israelites was they'd steal from each other. Yeah, there's many of us who will reflect back to the good old days where you didn't lock your house. Maybe some of you still don't. But depending on where you live, it might be a good idea to lock your house, because there's more so than back then people willing to steal and they don't think anything of it. But back in that time, at least in this area, this part of the country, you go back 50 years, you didn't lock your house. There was so little of that. Why? Because the gospel had influence over the lives of people. Even if it's just the Ten Commandments. And there's a conviction put in people and their kids, thou shalt not steal. I remember, but some places, those things are not in the fabric of society. I remember being at Brother Randy McMillan's in Cowie, Columbia. In a church, there's, 1,500 people there. And there was this meeting we were going to do. There's pastors. And I had a camera with me, and I set it down on my chair. He's right beside me. He says, oh, brother, don't do that. Don't do what? Oh, don't put your camera on the chair. I said, well, why? He said, they'll steal it. I said, well, I thought I'm standing in the pastor section. They'll steal it. That blew me away. I mean, these are the pastors, and they'll steal your camera. But see, there's a different mindset. That aspect of the law is not in their conscience to restrain them. And, in other places like Nigeria, the threat of robbery and stealing, it's like ever present. And when you step out, that's still not normal here. I mean, we're a little more aware, there's a little more of that. But some places, it's just like ever present. Someone will steal from you. So if you step out from one place to another, you have to be very much aware of your environment you're going into and be very wise. You don't whip out a wallet in front of everybody. You're going to buy a banana. You put a certain denomination here and a certain denomination here and a certain denomination here, and you know what's there. These little tricks of the travel trade here. So you know if you're buying something, it'd be like $10, I have a 10 here. I have a 5 here. You don't draw attention. Well, this was the case here with Israel. God had issue, and some of the prophets addressed that. They would just steal from each other. Now, he says here, if riches increase, And we all would desire that, right? Yeah, more money allows you to do more. If riches increase, don't set your heart upon them, because they can be quickly become your source and not even realize it. Money can become a source. But this psalm's exhorting us that God be our rock. He is our source. He is our salvation. We'll command our soul to fix our eyes upon him. We'll continue to trust in him. We'll continue to hold fast our confession. And you will stand through your storm. I want to finish in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, 58. I love these verses. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, previous to that, he's talking about death, sin and death. We have victory over sin. We have victory over death. You know, in a previous verse, it says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be ever praising and thanking him because we have the victory. Translation, we don't have to be afraid of that which comes against us, that which would be circumstantially a problem. We don't have to be afraid of our needs. We don't have to be afraid of any lying devils because we have the victory. Jesus Christ overcame it all, and he also provided a covenant where we have promises that speak to everything that we could need in this life. Therefore, because we have the victory, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and unmovable. The word steadfast is sometimes translated fixed. We are fixed. We will not move. Fixed. Steadfast. You know, the lighthouses they used to build, like up in New England, I guess down the coast. I remember even seeing them in Delaware. They were fixed. They would beam out light. It's a fixed position. It's not a boat that's moving. So if you were sailing in, you could lock in on that fixed position. Airplanes now fly with these transponders, and there's a beam sent out, and it takes you right to that airport, right to that signal tower. I was going to fly Ukrainian Air once. We were on a plane about 4 hours in New York. Finally get off plane in New York. And no one knew what was going on. It was big to-do going on, and you got to reschedule and all this stuff. And it happened that, you know, they gave us like a voucher to go to a hotel. I happened to get on the elevator with the flight crew. So we asked them, it's like, what happened? And they said, oh, Ukrainian Airlines wanted to fly without a transponder. They normally have two. They only had one. One was broke. And in the United States, would not allow them to fly with one transponder, because if they lose that, you're flying blind across the ocean and everything. You're going to find this little airport by eyesight? I don't think so. Now, yeah, maybe you could do that to land in Harrisburg. You find that Susquehanna River. You're looking down. Well, we'll just follow the river. But to find an airport in the middle of Ukraine someplace, so, you know, that it's fixed. That beam is fixed where, you know, it brings you right in. Our heart is fixed on Jesus Christ, unmovable. The lighthouse, it doesn't move. I mean, I remember hearing a story once of a boat. And, you know, they're at night sailing, and this, hopefully I can tell a story right. This captain sees this light shining, and it says, you need to get out of my way. You know, we're this large certain vessel. We're coming through here. You need to get out of my way. And the response back is saying, we're not moving out of the way. We're not going to move from our position. And a boat captain saying, you need to get out of my way. You know, we're coming through. We have this big ship. We're going to be running you over. No, we will not move out of the way. And he says, do you know who we are? It's like a military vessel, I think. And he says, we're a lighthouse. We're fixed. We're not going to move for you, boat, because we can't move. You know, there can be things coming at you, but we can come into this place where we are unmovable like the lighthouse. We are unshaken like the foundation built on the rock. We are fixed in our position. We will not be moved from our faith. Now, those type of words will always be tested in our life. Everyone will face a test. We're not going to, you know, just say things like that and not be tested. There will be tests. And some people have some tests that are so severe, like someone where a war occurs where they live and everything's disrupted. Or you have others with like the storm, the hurricane. What are people going to do? Someone who's firm in their faith will say, we'll build again. We'll not be moved. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As you know, your labor's not in vain. Satan would want to stop us from serving the Lord, working for him. And many times things happen that sets us back. But we have to have a determination. I will move forward again. I will not be moved from my position. I know what God's called me to do. I know what his will is for my life. I will not move off of that. There is a place for us to live in that. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In knowing what the Lord has done and provided for us, we can be strong, but we need to make the decision to walk in his word.